This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Sean Bellent. Today on the program, we'll take a look at Montgomery County history once again in this bicentennial year and Olympic history as we are wrapping up the Olympics this weekend in Tokyo. I asked on social media, who was your favorite Olympian? Dave Kane, a longtime State Journal Register sports reporter, said Harold Osborne of Hillsborough, really of Butler and Hillsborough High School fame, and later University of Illinois fame. This individual, despite suffering an eye injury, would go on to the 1924 Olympics in Paris. And he didn't just make it to the Olympics. He won the decathlon, and he won the high jump. Now, we all know the decathlon is something that is given a lot of respect when you look at Bruce Jenner and him being on the cover of Wheaties boxes for so many years and decades. So now I have a conversation with longtime University of Illinois Sports Information Director and author Mike Pearson about the life and times of one Harold Osborne on Around Montgomery County. You know, Mike, I know this was a special time, as you know, the history of Illini sports so well. The 1920s, you say 1920s, I think we all think about the same thing. First, anyway, you think of the infancy of Memorial Stadium, and you think of the Galloping Ghost himself, Red Grange, but I guess he wasn't the only legend from that era.
No, he certainly wasn't. The landscape had a lot of Illini heroes in those days. As you say, Memorial Stadium was being constructed, was dedicated in 1924. But there was something else that happened just a few months earlier than that over in Paris.
So Harold Osborne, a great story. And certainly I know the Illini take a lot of pride in their track program, track and field, and certainly they're having an impact out there in Tokyo right now. But looking back, the 1920s, I would imagine track and field was a more high-profile university sport?
It certainly was. And we actually, the University of Illinois was the very first NCAA track and field program to win the NCAA championship. So there's some special ties, some great, great athletes through the years. You mentioned the Wheaties box a little earlier, and you're probably not old enough to remember Bob Richards, but Bob Richards was a pole vaulter at Illinois, and he was the original Wheaties athlete who appeared in a promotional way for Wheaties. But the story of Harold Osborne capturing the Olympic gold in the decathlon is an interesting one. He was from Butler, Illinois, competed at Hillsborough as a prep athlete, participating in track and field, basketball and football. So he was much more than a track athlete. After practice, he walked 4 miles home, and at 5'10 and 172 pounds, he matriculated to the University of Illinois and learned under the immortal coach, Harry Gill. Now, the 24 Olympic Games in Paris were pretty well stocked with some internationally known athletes, including a swimmer who went on to become movie's Tarzan. You might remember the name Johnny Weissmuller, who was an American swimmer. Paavo Nurmi was a great runner for Finland. So Harold Osborne kind of broke into fame at that very same time. At the time, his 7,100 points in a world record victory over his teammate in the decathlon allowed him to accomplish something that no other man or woman in history had ever done or has ever done since. He won gold in the decathlon and the high jump. Now, that's a pretty impressive double victory, and the press hailed him as the world's greatest athlete. So his decathlon victory was especially impressive when you realize that the competition was conducted just a few days after the high jump competition, and an extremely hot and humid weather at the end of the games. And so he also competed 4 years later in the Olympics in the high jump and placed fifth, didn't medal, but he went on to win any number of decathlon titles and high jump titles, and later became a doctor, an osteopath in Champaign-Urbana, and even helped coach the University of Illinois track team.
I look at those times, 1924, you know, the Wright brothers did their thing, the airplane was evolving, but certainly wasn't a source for taking people across the pond to Europe. Coming out of Butler, it must have been a lot like the men who went to war a few years prior in the war to end all wars, getting on a boat and going to Paris. I can't even imagine just how big the world felt back then.
Well, it had to. I mean, there was no Concorde to jump on at that point. So you climbed on a ship, and all of your other Olympic teammates were there too. So you can imagine him, you know, rubbing elbows with Johnny Weissmuller on his way over across the pond to Paris. So it had to be an extremely exhilarating trip for him, coming from just a small town.
Well, I think of the various sports within the sport of the decathlon. They are precision. I have to think muscle memory is huge. And to have an eye injury in your teens that affects your ability to measure under the usual circumstances, and making adjustments to that in an era before sports science, before, you know, we had, you know, optical services at every retail corner. The adjustments he made on his own are just unbelievable.
It had to be. And as you say, medicine has come a long way in 100 years. And so he wore eyeglasses. And I'm guessing he was probably the only decathlete who wore eyeglasses at that juncture. But what he did, you know, was historical. And it made him a charter member of the University of Illinois Athletic Hall of Fame.
Yeah, 1924, I know that was a breakthrough year for the Olympics. I know they relaunched in 1896 after, I believe, centuries, if I recall right. And 1904 over in St. Louis, it was still kind of a novelty, I guess, at that point. But, boy, 1924, you really made it through. And I can only imagine how much more his fame would have spread. I guess he would have been in the newsreels in the movie theaters right about the time we were going from silent movies to preparing to go to talkies a few years after that. But his celebrity, I can imagine, if it happened 20 years later, would be considerably different because of the changes in media.
Yeah, of course, radio was just in its infancy at that point. And one of his classmates, Red Grange, is really credited for, you know, putting the University of Illinois on the map. And so that probably gave Harold Osborne a little more notoriety because folks knew where the University of Illinois was at that juncture. But there was no TV. There's no Peacock that you subscribe to you know, follow the games, watch a basketball game, etc. So, you know, I like to date back. My wife also often tells me that I was born 50 years too late because my heroes are the greats, the Babe Ruths and the Bobby Jones and the Jack Dempseys of the world. And I'm sure Harold Osborne would have been one of my heroes back then as well.
I think about the decathlon, and to me that creates images of someone going to an Olympic training center because, you know, there's so many specialty sports. You don't exactly spend your life preparing for that on a farm in Butler or at Hillsboro High School, some of those events. But yeah, I imagine there certainly was some carryover, but some of those events are specialized, and to be able to conquer them without elite training facilities and coming out of a small town, that's pretty impressive, and I guess just kind of fits those storybook tales we know of the athletes from that era.
Well, that's exactly right. Just last night, I was watching the final event, which is traditional, the mile run, the 1500 meter run, is the final event in the decathlon, and to see, you know, those folks and all that they've been through, you know, from a pole vault to a high jump to any of the other events, and then to finish it by having to run a mile, they were completely exhausted. So, you know, to go back and to think that he preceded, you know, the greats, the Bob Mathiases and the Bruce Jenners, et cetera, as the first really well-known decathlon athlete, it's amazing that he came from such a small little town, a little farm community, and represented the orange and blue at the University of Illinois.
Well, it really is an amazing story, and maybe the athletes who join your track and field program maybe don't know that much about him coming in, but I imagine looking on the walls, he has been a source of inspiration for decades.
Well, and you know, the fact that he served his community as an osteopath, as a doctor in Champaign-Urbana, and until his death. He died in April of 1975, just 8 days before his 76th birthday. And so the community knew him as their family physician in many ways. And, you know, many of them, I'm sure, had no idea, you know, of the fame that he had garnered just years before.
I know you have great memories of the Illini programs, but I'm sure you wouldn't mind having a time machine, and would love to see a little Red Grange and a little Harold Osborne out there in Champaign.
That'd be fun. You know, the world was able to see some movie reels of Red Grange, but never saw any action of Harold Osborne. That would have been fun to see him leap over the bar. And of course, you know, this was well before the Fosbury flop, you know, going all over the bar backwards. You know, so that probably, and they didn't have this soft foam pit to land in. It was sawdust in those days. So I imagine there were some bruises that took place, you know, when you were performing the high jump.
Well, just to close, Mike, just tell us about your memories. How enjoyable the U of I experience was for you. And I know it was hard to see Lou Henson pass on. What a warrior, what a champion, and fended off so many health challenges and just kept going. A special place to be over the years.
Well, I'm a graduate of Michigan State University. My very first job as a young professional at that point was at the University of Illinois. So I served there in the the mid-70s. And this fellow named Henson joined the staff the very same year that I joined. And then I retired in 1996. And who retired that same year? Lou Henson. So while he had a few more wins than I did on his resume, you know, I was very pleased to have met, you know, some Illini legends, the Butkuses and the Granges and Bob Richards and many others. Unfortunately, as I discussed, Harold Osborne died just about 3 months before I joined the Illini staff, so I didn't have the pleasure of meeting him, but you know, there are so many memories, and I later wrote a book called Illini Legends, Lists and Lore, and I was able to kind of recreate the histories of all these great athletes that have passed through in Champaign-Urbana, and I hope that your readers will check that one out and relive Illini history along.
And where can folks find that? I mean, Amazon, I know, is the usual first step, but is there a preferential step to Aquinas.
I would think you know, just put Illini legends lists and lore into the Google bar, and the nearest way to purchase it will pop up. I've done three different versions, editions of it. The last was done about 4 years ago, and so there's copies out there. There may even be copies in your local library. I'm not sure, but I think that anybody who has an interest in history, and I tried to fold in, you know, not only Illini history, but I tried to fold in American history, what was happening at that same time in the world, and so to make it a little bit more relatable, and I think folks will enjoy reading some of those stories.
You know, I'm going to throw in one more point, too, that I think is interesting that just came to mind. Now, certainly the University of Illinois didn't change this. It's just one of the things that happened in sports. And, again, the car and other recruiting tools, big universities started looking beyond their borders. But in the 1920s, you look at Harold Osborne, you look at other figures in University of Illinois history in those days, like the 1920s, they were homegrown athletes from within our borders.
That's exactly right. No, university thrived on its state's great athletes, and the times have changed. And while many University of Illinois athletes still are home raised, there's a bunch of others who have joined the borders, who have come through the borders and joined the ranks as well. But I think the home university, it's always a thrill for, you know, the folks of Springfield and Decatur, et cetera, to perform in front of their family where they can see them on their home turf at the University of Illinois.
And a big thanks going out to Mike Pearson. Really enjoyed that interview about Harold Osborne. If you'd like to see more about Harold Osborne, he is still honored in the halls of Hillsboro High School. That's a wrap for Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Sean Bellett. I'll see you next weekend for Forum.